Hi, this is Regina. Yeah, Laurent wrote to me. He said that he was going to bed. So he's in bed, as far as I know. If he shows up, then I guess that means he couldn't sleep. But he was planning not to be here tonight so that he could get some rest. I think he's going to India very soon. I think he goes to India on the 23rd, which for him would be when he wakes up from this being in bed now, right? So, so yeah, we might not see him for a little while. And the truth is, we only have 4 more messages in this series of messages that was given to Laurent and me. So we're almost to the end of this particular series of messages. The message we're going to look at tonight is called Discover Guidance Together. And I am going to give you a link to that. I see Cheryl saying she hopes I'll do Inner Ramana again. We'll find out as we get there. I'm hungry and tired. We just got back from Santa Fe a couple hours ago. We did not get to see the oldest church, Dove. That was our plan today. We went there to see 3 churches in 3 days. Each morning we were going to go sit in a church for an hour or so, however long Jasmine could tolerate it. And actually, I think she tolerated it much better than she expected to. I think she actually enjoyed the churches. The first day we saw the Loretta Chapel, which is the one with the miraculous staircase. I don't know if everybody knows the story, but back then they used to build the choir area at the top of the chapel, but without a staircase, because most of the churches were run by monks, and the monks would just put a ladder there and just climb up the ladder, and that way they didn't have to use seating space for a staircase. So they built this particular chapel that way without thinking about the fact that this was a girls' school with nuns, and they couldn't climb a ladder in their long dresses. And so once it was built, there was no way to get up to the choir area. And so they asked different contractors at that time, you know, different carpenters to come in and look at it, but no one could come up with a solution that would allow them to build a staircase without taking away seating. And it was actually a very small chapel, and it was a girls' school, and they did need all the seating. So they began to pray to Saint Joseph. I don't know if that's Jesus' father or not. Does anybody know? He is a carpenter. He's the patron saint of carpenters. Okay, it is Jesus' father. I thought it was possible. I didn't know for a fact, though. And on the 9th day of praying to Saint Joseph for a solution, a carpenter showed up. And he built a staircase, which if you see what the original staircase looked like, it is an absolute miracle. It's a spiral staircase that has no visible means of support. It's not connected to the walls. Oh, Laurent is in the house. I guess he couldn't sleep. Okay. It is not connected to the walls in any way. It looks like the staircase. Yeah, no center post. It looks like the staircase should have collapsed. Of course it did not. And not only did he build a miraculous staircase, he had very few tools. I think they said a saw, a hammer, one other tool that I wasn't familiar with. I think that was kind of like a level, maybe, type thing. And then when he finished the staircase, he just left. He just disappeared. He left no indication of how to reach him. He did not ask for payment. And they even ran an ad in the paper trying to find who he was, and they were never able to find him. So they decided amongst themselves that it was Saint Joseph himself. Regardless of who the carpenter was, whether the carpenter was a miraculous manifestation of the Father of Jesus, or whether it was just a carpenter who felt the prompt to show up and do that work, it doesn't matter. Either way, it was an absolute miracle. And if you see what the staircase originally looked like, you would know that. They've since added a banister, and they've added a little bit of support, so it's not in its original condition now. But you can see photographs of what it looked like, and it's pretty amazing. So that was the first chapel we went to on Friday. On Saturday, we went to the Cathedral of St. Francis. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful church. One of the most beautiful churches I have ever been in. And then this morning, we were supposed to go to the San Miguel Mission. which is the oldest church in North America, but it was closed for renovation, so we missed that one. So, Laurent, I told them that you had told me you were going to bed, and I said if you showed up, that meant you couldn't sleep. So we see you're in the room, so we know that you aren't sleeping right this second. And if I have my dates correct, aren't you going to India in the morning? Is that true? Do you want to take the mic for a second? Do you feel like taking the mic and talking about your upcoming trip? Oh, Tuesday, so you still have one more day. Do you feel like taking the mic, or are you not in the mood? I'll let go and see if you take it. No, you don't want to. Okay, then we won't make you. We know it's the middle of the night for you, so we'll ignore that. But have a wonderful time in India. I know, I hope that you do. I know that I did. You know, be careful, of course, what you eat. Don't drink any water. I went for 3 weeks, and I did not get sick at all. I was very careful. Lisa Hansen is there now. She has not been sick at all. She is also being very careful. But she commented that a number of people are sick, so not everyone is being careful. You know, maybe some people are tempted by the fruit along the roadside, which looks lovely, but it will make you sick as a dog. Maybe some people are tempted by iced coffees, which sound wonderful, but if it's not in the couple of places that use filtered water, it will make you sick as a dog. So be good. I'm sure, you know, your Lisa has been there enough times. I'm sure she can, you know, tell you how to stay healthy. But stay healthy, okay? And it'll be a very fun trip, I'm sure. And I have a friend I'd love for you to go see, my friend Shiva. Maybe I'll email you some information about how to go see him while you're there. Lisa's gone to see him, Lisa Hansen. And she went to see him once, and I think now she's on her way back to see him for the third time, so he's kind of addictive. He's a wonderful, wonderful, fun guy. He's a stone carver. He does great work as well. He has father and his brother. All right, so we are here then for the fourth to last message that was given to Laurent and me. I've already given you the link, but I will give you the link again. And before we go and look at this message, why don't we just do a moment of silence. When the silence is over, I will say amen, okay? Let's do it. Amen. All right. So, I am going to... Hi, Bill. Welcome home. I will... hopefully listen to you. I think you know the routine here, Bill. You know that after I get done teaching, it is dinner time. And I'm the cook. So I'll need to go upstairs and see if Jasmine is okay with something really light and easy so that I can listen to you. But, you know, if there's a little bit of resistance there, then I might not be listening to you in the room, but maybe I'll get to listen to a recording later. But I'm, you know, very happy to hear about your experience in Portugal. So I will either listen live tonight or hopefully listen at another time. Often when there's something I want to hear, Dove is able to get a recording to me and I can listen later. Laurent is in the house, as you can see, and I don't know when you came in, but he is going to India in 2 days on Tuesday. So one brother's home and one brother's leaving. That's wonderful. All right. Okay, so again, the message, discover guidance together. Here's the link one more time. And here we go. Question. You can go lay down, Jamie. It's okay. I'll be sitting here for like an hour. She's looking at me like, are you going to get up? Are we going to do something exciting or should I just go lay down? Go lay down. It's okay. I love you. All right. My question. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I'm wondering if you will talk to us about discernment. How do we know the difference between intuition and fear? And Holy Spirit's answer. The best answer to this question is that fear comes from fear. If you are feeling a particular prompt and you are feeling no fear or judgment at the time, that prompt is coming from intuition. However, if you judge the prompt, you may then feel fear. But the fear is not coming from the prompt, it is coming from your judgment of it. I'm going to go ahead and read the next question, then I'm going to talk. So the next question was, can couples feel opposite prompts? And doesn't this result in conflict? Isn't there a desire to have my prompt be right, which means that I see the other's prompt as wrong? And I'm going to stop there before I continue with the message. I don't remember exactly what was going on here. I don't know if Laurent does. If he does, he can type in and refresh my memory. But I remember one circumstance that was around this time that may or may have not been directly related to this message. I remember Laurent wanting to take a trip. I remember Laurent wanting to take a trip to see his cousin in California. And by this time, Laurent and I were living off of the same money. We had one checking account with both of our names on it. It was, as far as I know, the only time he or I have ever done that. had a joint checking account with another person. And I still had fears about money at this time. And this was after I'd received the prompt to move to Pueblo. Then I knew that moving costs money. There was no incoming money at all for Laurent or me at this point. The only money that we were living off of at this point was my savings. And that was apparently, you know, in my perception, dwindling fast. And so there was fear. And when Laurent wanted to go visit his cousin, I saw it as an unnecessary trip. Spending money that didn't have to be spent. Again, I judged Laurent as being extravagant. And once again, I can't speak about what was going on in his head. I can only speak about what was going on in mine. But we were both experiencing a conflict. So you can see that, based on, my feelings around money, based on my judgments of Laurent as extravagant, there's no way that I could honestly lay claim to my feeling, my not wanting him to go on the trip. There's no way I could lay claim to that as a Holy Spirit prompt. Nor do I have any memory of having done that. So that might not be exactly what this message is about, but I think it's a good example that we can look at. You know, it's a good example because it shows that I had my own fears, I had my own judgments, And so my feeling about what Laurent should do came from that. And that is a perfect example of what is not a prompt from Holy Spirit. Although, I'll be honest, I'm not certain that everyone recognizes that, because it seems like I am aware of people who have fears and who will attempt to tell the other people in their lives, you need to do this and this. This is my prompt. It came from Holy Spirit, without recognizing that actually it's the root of what they're asking others to do is their own fear. Often, you know, money is the root of this. And depending on how much of a leadership position the person has, you know, the head of the family, the head of the household, in some cases even the head of the spiritual group, sometimes they put a lot of weight on their prompt, what they're calling their prompt, saying this is what Holy Spirit said, and this is what you have to do, and telling others what they need to do, when actually it comes from fear. Now, whenever Spirit gives us a message, what Spirit is really asking us to do is to look at ourselves. So, one thing that we all want to be careful about is that we are not claiming Holy Spirit as the source of what we want to do or what we want done, when actually the source is fear. And only our own self-honesty can gauge that. But if our purpose is awakening, well, then our purpose would be to follow honest prompts. The way I remember it, you know, my version of the story, of course, one thing I've learned is that memory is very faulty. The way I remember it, when Laurent wanted to go to California, I remember having an inner struggle that was enormous. And I think Laurent probably had an inner struggle that was enormous too. Let's see. Yeah, he says he's not sure it's truly about this. I'm not either. Yeah, I'm not either. But what I also remember, I do remember being aware that because I had an inner struggle that was enormous, that my feelings were not a prompt, or what I thought was a prompt. I don't recall ever saying to Laurent, Holy Spirit is guiding me that you can't go to California. I don't recall making those kinds of claims. I probably made him aware that I was having a hard time with it, aware that I, you know, please get the cheapest ticket you can if you're going to go. I may have done that. But I never claimed it was Holy Spirit. And in fact, what I remember from my perspective, what I feel like was my guidance at that time was to let him go and just to watch that apparent suffering in me, because it was ego, right? Because it was ego. And let's see what Laurent's saying. He says, I remember I took the car and going to the movies on my own, feeling bad about this, but feeling it was pure prompt. Remember? I don't remember that, no. I don't remember you going to the movies. He says, yes, there was that trip to the ACIM Foundation as well. Yeah, Laurent took two or three trips during this period of time, which was really funny. Didn't you go to New York also, I think? It was funny because I had such fears about money. And it seemed like Laurent was taking trips every 2 weeks from my suffering perspective, spending money that was, you know. He says, no, he wasn't. Yeah, it's all perspective. Who knows what was going on? That's the way my mind painted it. You know, you can't trust your mind. I will tell you that. Maybe from Laurent's perspective, he was stuck there in that house, never going anywhere. And from my perspective, he was constantly taking trips. You know, that's the way mind is. And that's, you know, that doesn't mean that if Laurent was to tell the story from his perspective that he would be, quote, lying, or that I'm lying. This is just the way mind would have painted the story for him, and memory would paint it, and the way mind paints the story for me, and the way memory paints it. And I think it's wonderful to look at that. You know, I think it's wonderful to accept that we cannot trust our own minds, that we cannot trust our own perspectives. And although the story I'm telling probably isn't directly related to this particular message, it's a good example. It's somewhat related because it's what Spirit is talking about. If two members of a couple relationship feel that their prompts from Holy Spirit are in conflict, then chances are at least one, maybe even both, of what is being felt and being claimed as a prompt isn't. It's coming from fear. It's coming from my own desire to control the situation so that I can feel comfortable, so that I can feel happy, right? And again, if our purpose is awakening, we want to be very, very honest with ourselves about our perspective, about our fears, and of course, therefore, about what we may be claiming to be a prompt. All right, let me take a drink and then we'll go on reading. Laurent is telling Bill, he says, I remember being jealous when you called Regina, Bill, talking about the past. I remember that too. And that was quite funny. I mean, you know, it wasn't funny from Laurent's perspective, but it was funny from mine. I don't know how Bill felt at the time, but he's obviously laughing now. All right. So back to the message. The question, can couples feel opposite prompts? And doesn't this result in conflict? Isn't there a desire to have my prompt be right, which means I see the other's prompt as wrong? And the answer, it is unlikely that a true intuitive prompt would conflict with another true intuitive prompt, since intuition comes from the same guiding source. When there seems to be conflict between prompts, there is evidence that fear has entered or additional interpretation has been added to a basic intuitive prompt. This is not the time to sit down and determine who is right and who is wrong. This is a time to sit down and discover together the intuitive guidance that works for you. We are not talking about compromise or winning and losing. We are talking about discovering together as one. Yeah, and again, I can only talk about my experience. My experience is that a prompt, a true prompt, is always in the current moment. So if there is an apparent conflict, like let's say I'm feeling, you know, to do this, and Jasmine is feeling to do that, and there's an apparent conflict, the way that I practice is I you know, when I'm on my toes, I'm not going to say I never slip, because I do, but at least when I'm on my toes, the way that I practice is I do not in that moment of disagreement stick with the feeling, but we're to do this. I, in that moment, check, okay, now what's the guidance? Because I may have been feeling that we were to do this, but as soon as Jasmine said, no, I want to do that, it's time for another check-in. You know, maybe my guidance then will say, you know, go ahead, do it her way. It doesn't even matter if she's coming from some fear or some personal desire. Guidance may very well say, okay, do it her way. Or guidance could possibly, if somehow what I was feeling to do really is in our best interest, it may provide me with a way to show her this perspective. I don't know what it's going to do. But my point is that there's always a new checking in. So there's no sticking to my guns and staying in conflict with another person if I'm listening to guidance. There's always a checking in. There's always a current moment feeling. And if two people are really, really open with each other, which is, of course, how Holy Spirit was guiding Laurent and me to be, then these two people can sit down and talk openly about, well, I was feeling this, well, I was feeling that, you know, do you think you have any fears around your feeling, or do I think I have any fears around mine? Let's look at those. Maybe no, I feel like this is just my prompt. Yeah, well, okay, this is what I was feeling too. Let's check again now. And, you know, two people can together in love and respect and honesty, without a sense of compromise, you know, without a sense of doing it your way this time, we'll do it my way next time, get to a feeling of what is to be done or what is to be decided. It takes honesty. It takes checking in again, and it takes open communication. But it can be done. And so that's what Spirit is guiding here. And in fact, if you look at the next question, it says, this sounds like what Laurent and I did together yesterday. We called it finding our space together. What feedback would you give us on the process we used? Oh, I think I might be remembering now, Laurent. Tell me if you think I'm correct. This is when we sat down and talked about chores. We may have even talked about how to spend our money. I don't remember. But maybe just those basic living things, you know, how to get things done around the house together. I don't remember. Yeah, he says maybe. That might have been this. Because we did have a pretty productive conversation. Do you remember? You know, where we really sat down and looked honestly at our feelings. Yeah. So I said, this sounds what Laurent and I did together yesterday. We called it finding our space together. What feedback would you give us on the process we used? And Spirit says, actually, it was very good. There was a lot of fear in your discussion, but what you chose to do that was very important was not judge the fear. You agreed to acknowledge that fear exists, and you agreed to allow it now. You also agreed that letting go of fear is the real goal, and you imagined how your space may change as fear disappears. These were very good steps to take. Bravo on your conversation. So, yeah, if I remember correctly, again, you know, we did divvy up the chores. You know, Laurent, for example, was going to be responsible for mowing the lawn. And then, you know, I don't remember what I was responsible for. I'm sure I did my fair share. But we agreed to how we were going to be together around getting chores down, about around, maybe around spending money, right? We agreed how we were going to be together. But we also acknowledged, because we felt that this was honest, that the agreements we were making would not be needed if all of the fears were let go. We felt that this was a good step for us now, based on where we were now. But we also felt that if we continued to focus on letting go of our fears, that at some point a flow would take over and the rules or agreements would no longer be needed. That's the way I remember it. And we agreed to, although we were going to live by the rules for now, because we were both somewhat comfortable and in agreement on those rules, we agreed that the real goal was to let go of the fear and eventually to let those rules fall as a natural flow took over. That's what we did, right? And so I asked Spirit, is there anything we could have done better? And Spirit says, there is always something that can be done better. But better has a way of coming when you have readied yourself for it. A better question to ask is, how can we ready ourselves to work together better? And the answer, of course, is willingness. You must want to continue to find your space together more than you want to have your own way. As long as there is my way and your way, there is separation. Our way can be a better way as long as our way does not become different than their way. Couples are useful healing relationships when they are a symbol of oneness, but as they become an institution unto themselves, they are merely a form of engendering a continued perception of separation. So again, what Spirit is warning us about is you know, a couple could become so proud of their processes they develop together that then as a proud unit, they compare themselves to other couples who are not doing as well in their own judgment and say, you know, you should be more like us. That's still the same thing, right? It doesn't matter whether I'm thinking I'm better than Laurent or Laurent is thinking he's better than me, or whether the two of us find our space and then think we are better than, we'll pick on our friends Lisa and Bill who are in the room. You know, or Lisa and Bill think they are better than us, right? So he's asking us not to fall into that trap either, right? Is there anything else you'd like to share about discerning between intuition and fear? Answer. Discernment will become clearer as you desire discernment more than you desire to be right or have your own way. I love that sentence. If discernment isn't super clear, then it might be because what I desire more is to have my own way, right? Or it might be that, you know, what I desire more is to be right. And, you know, our experience follows our desire, our conscious desire, the desire we are giving our energy to. So if I desire to be right or I desire to have my own way, then discernment will appear weak or not even noticeable. But that's because of my own desire. So what I really want to do is desire discernment, Spirit's discernment, more. And again, willingness, start with willingness. So discernment will become clearer as you desire discernment more than you desire to be right or to have your own way. You may notice some fear at the thought of letting go of your way or of being right. That is only the ego's fear of ceasing to exist. I've actually been looking at this fear today, not exactly for the same reason, but it's the same fear, it's just something else that's been having it come up. As you all know, I'm in a year of silence. And there have been several adjustments that are being made in my life to allow more silence. And last night, I spontaneously had a realization that I'm calling guidance, that feels like guidance, that's why I'm calling it that. That I have been, although I've been allowing more time for silence, like in my mornings, for example, that I am still too chatty, just too, you know, giggly and talking and having fun, believe it or not, but too chatty with Jasmine and Danielle, whom I live with. And it felt like I was really being guided to be even much more silent with them. As I began to look at the prompt of really, you know, being more and more serious about this silence, I could feel that little fear. I'm not going to say that I experienced the fear. I don't know how to say this because it feels like I'm in a state of watching it rather than, you know, being fearful myself, if that makes sense. Like I don't really feel like I became afraid. But I would say I saw the fear. This fear of not existing, the fear of, you know, if I'm not interacting with people, if I'm not, you know, writing on Facebook all the time, interacting with the people who live in Pueblo, interacting with Jasmine and Danielle, if I'm not doing all of this, there was some little thought in there, some little idea that I would cease to exist. And of course, that's probably exactly what will happen. And I'd say, actually, you know, what is meant to happen. Which is probably why I say I didn't feel the fear. I mean, I didn't experience it as if it was my fear as much as I saw that the fear is there in the mind. Coming up this time around being silent, around backing off from everyday interactions. In this case, Spirit is saying that that fear may show up around the idea of letting go of being right or letting go of my way, having my way. There may be this fear that that shows up that I'm not going to exist. And depending on how identified we are with the ego, it may be a fear that we see, or it may be a fear that we feel we have. It may be something that we feel that we directly experience. And if I feel like I directly experience it, there may be a sense of panic about, you know, if I, you know, that somehow Laurent is, forgive the word, but raping me, right? That somehow he's raping me by taking my way away from me, you know, as an example. That it's really important that I hold on to my way, because without my way, I don't exist. I'm going to lose terribly. Right. So Spirit says again, discernment will become clearer as you desire discernment more than you desire to be right or to have your own way. You may notice some fear at the thought of letting go of your way or of being right. That is only the ego's fear of ceasing to exist. Do not let it bother you, but notice it. That has been my experience today. The ego will not be let go before you are ready. You cannot do anything other than move at your own pace. There is nothing to fear. The ego tells you that you are dying, but that isn't true. Yeah, I looked at that today. You are learning to recognize the true cause of suffering, which is the same as learning the difference between what you want and what you don't want. But until you learn this fully, you will keep the idea of ego because you think you want it. It cannot truly die because it does not truly live. It is an idea that is held to because it is valued. And when you no longer value it, you will choose to step through the fear and let it go. And let's see what Laurent is saying. Same here with resistance to let go of understanding. Yeah, this is something Laurent's been going through. I heard him teach about this a couple weeks ago. Letting go of understanding, commenting, or knowing what's happening. He has this the same fear. He's seen the same fear that if he lets go of this intellectual identity, right? Is that a fair way of saying it? Yeah. That they'll be ceasing to exist. So, you know, I would imagine as I sit here saying this, you know, looking at what Laurent and I were going through at this time, what Laurent is going through today, what I am going through today, that there are different habits that are let go as it becomes revealed to us that these habits need to be let go because they really are just ego. That when we start to let go of them, we will either experience this fear of not existing or we will observe this fear of not existing. And that's okay. That's okay. It's just, you know, that's just that attachment to ego that is being severed. So it's not a big deal. It's just not a big deal. Not pretend, let's not make a big deal out of it, right? Let's just say, yep, there it is again. You know, recently I made a post on Facebook about, in fact, I think I made two or three posts in a row, actually, on this topic of asking our heart to help us see the obstacles to knowing ourself. And in one of the posts, the comment was made that these obstacles are these habits, these, you know, ingrained tendencies. You know, the desire, it could be the desire to be right. It could be the desire to understand. It could be the desire to communicate verbally, to play with others, you know, in a fun, giggly way. But these things keep the ego alive, which is amazing. And if we are each, if you'll forgive the symbol, if we are each praying to our own heart to show us our habits, then if we're praying with a true desire to see these habits and let them go, we will become aware of them within ourselves. And then we will know that it's time to let go, like I suddenly knew last night. Suddenly, while in the process of playing and giggling, it hit me like a 2x4 that this was something I had to let go of now. And it was clear. Doesn't mean I won't ever play or giggle, but at some point that playing and giggling may come from a different place. And in this interim, I need to be more silent with the two people I live with. And so then that little thought arises, that little, not even, I guess it's a thought, but it doesn't appear like a thought as much as it, I don't know what it appears as, I guess a belief, I don't know what it appears as, this idea that if I keep pulling back into silence, somehow I'm going to cease to exist. Okay, so it's there. Big deal. But does that mean I'm going to quit pulling back into silence? Does that mean I'm not going to follow my guidance? No. I just acknowledge that it's there. And then I continue to follow my guidance. And Laurent will do the same. He will continue to let go of that desire to understand. Right, my love? Holding hands, I think, is what I said to you in my last email. Still holding hands, right? And sure enough, Holy Spirit says, you are doing this now. Be gentle with yourself in the process and be aware that you are stepping through fear. Being gentle does not, or being gentle does include not. Being gentle does include not going faster than you feel you can bear. But it also includes not avoiding when you are ready to look at and release fears. And your own inner guidance lets you know your pace, right? You know if you're going, pushing yourself too hard, or if you are dragging your feet, right? There's an inner knowing. Know thyself and listen to your intuitive guidance. Without fear, it guides you perfectly according to your desire to be guided now. It's beautiful. All right. I'm going to scroll to the top of the page, and you'll notice that there's a link to the next message, which is called Your First Mantra. I will click on that. It's kind of funny. If we look at this, this was in April of 2008 when this message came. This is the third to last message, as far as I know, that Laurent and I received together. In February of 2009 is when Inner Ramana showed up for me. So although this is April of 2008, it looks like that transition is already beginning. Of course, then we would not have known that, right? This is hindsight. But it looks like this transition of moving from this series of messages that belong to Laurent and I into this series of messages that we call Inner Ramana began nearly a year before it was clear what was happening. It's just kind of fun to look at that. It's not important, but it's fun. All right, so the question on this particular day. Hi, Holy Spirit. What I would like now is very specific coaching on how to let go of self. I am ready to take these steps. Let's see what Laurent is saying here. Any feeling that inner Ramana's energies were there already? Well, at this time, I'm not certain that I had any awareness at all of Ramana Maharshi. At all. I'm not certain. I would have to go back and check, actually, your archives to see when you started teaching. You did a couple of teachings on Ramana Maharshi, and that's where I became aware of the name. I don't know if you remember, Laurent, though I slept through the teachings. I remember that. I remember my resistance was so strong that I would sleep through your teachings on him. So at this point, to be honest, if his energy had been there, I would have been so oblivious to the idea of Ramana Maharshi that I wouldn't even have recognized it. So I can't answer. I can't even answer. Okay, so hi, Holy Spirit. What I would like now is very specific coaching on how to let go of self. I am ready to take these steps. And the answer is great. Realize that letting go of self is a moment-to-moment decision. In each moment of time, you must want to be only me. In any moment that you want the experience of something else, of a self that shall again be your experience. I noticed before when I read this message, I read it a few months ago for some reason, I noticed it's very, very rough. I don't know where that roughness comes from, but we'll go through the message, but it's not as smooth as some of the others. So maybe there was a transition of energy and I wasn't as hooked on it. Maybe there was resistance. Maybe some commas have been lost in a virus that we had at one time. I don't know where the roughness comes from, but there's a sense of roughness with this message. So we'll just go through it. Okay, Laurent says he feels the resistance. In any moment that you want the experience of something else, of a self that shall again be your experience, accepting that this is always your choice is a very important first step. If any situation you choose to forget that you have a choice, if in, that roughness was my own fault, if in any situation you choose to forget that you have a choice, you shall again experience the experience of victim because you have again chosen that experience through your choice to forget. So basically what is being said here is that our purpose needs to be at the front of our mind always. And at any moment that it's not, you know, at any moment that I think I want Laurent to behave a certain way, or I want Jasmine to behave a certain way, or I want a certain thing to come to me, in that moment I'm again reattaching to the desire to be the false self, right? So what I really want to do through my own willingness is get better and better at always remembering my purpose. What is your purpose, Dove says. I don't think he's asking me. I think he's telling us we should ask ourselves that. I think he knows me well enough. I think that's that's a rhetorical question we can ask ourselves, right? What is your purpose? Always. All right, so I said, okay, I got that. It is always my choice, and there isn't a single circumstance in which it isn't my choice. And then we'll call it Spirit Ramana says, mantras can be helpful for a time. So notice the mantras are being given as a temporary bridge. They keep your mind focused on your true desire so that it cannot wander off and be focused on something else. This is what is called mind training. Mind training is nothing more than reminding yourself who is boss. Your desire is the one that leads. The mind is the one that must listen. Since you have truly forgotten this law of cause and effect, intense mind training is helpful in placing the proper order of things back into the conscious awareness of your experience. So this sounds a lot like the Course in Miracles workbook as well. So I'm being told that the purpose of the mantra is to keep my mind focused on purpose. Not thinking about, you know, Laurent's next trip or, you know, whether he mowed the lawn or not or, you know, whatever. He says, your mantra is a silent saying and the words themselves are not important at all. What is important is the vibrational memory they invoke. You know, I've done some reading about Ramana recently. In the past 6 months, I read that wonderful book written down by my friend John Troy and the grandnephew of Ramana Maharshi Ganeshan, called The Human Gospel of Ramana Maharshi. And if you read that book, you'll find that in life, Ramana did sometimes give people mantras. He also told Papaji to stop the mantra practice. So, you know, we can see that it's a bridge, right? Sometimes he was giving people mantras, and sometimes he was telling people, you need to stop that practice, right? Also, if you pay attention to that book, when he did give people mantras, he didn't always give them the same one. I would assume he gave them a mantra that would have a heart meaning for them, right? A mantra that they could love, especially since in the teachings of Anuramana, he asks us to do the mantra with devotion. We would need to be given a mantra that culturally, right, we could feel devoted to. So he's saying it's not that the words themselves are important, right? More it's the vibrational memory they evoke or invoke, you know, the devotion, the love of our true self over our false self, right? And so I said, okay, what next? Now notice this. The first mantra that you shall use is, I am that I am. This mantra stayed with me until January of 2009. So about 9 months I was with this mantra. In January of 2009, I got a new mantra, which was, let's see, what was my second mantra? Abide in me as I abide in you, right? And then after that, the next mantra that I was given, I don't remember how long I had that, many, many months. I was in Pueblo by the time the next mantra came, which was, I pray for the fulfillment of my true desire, which Laurent and I wrote on pieces of paper and stuck in the Western Wall while we were in Israel. So that mantra was still with me then. And then a fourth mantra was given later, which was similar to the first one, I am that I am, and I am nothing else. So, you know, this says this will be your first mantra, and indeed my experience now is that it was. I've had a total of four mantras. Now I have no mantra. Now it's silence. But I had four mantras, each of which lasted many months. Let's see. Oh, he says, didn't you have I also? I had I for a time, but that one I didn't stick with. That one I dropped, and that's probably why another mantra was later given. That one... I dropped. I have nothing else to say about that. I dropped it. It just didn't stick. All right. But you know what's interesting, by the way? In the Human Gospel of Ramana Maharshi, there was a woman. Might even have been Ganeshan's mother, but I'm not sure. You know how I don't remember the details. But there was a woman that Ramana gave that mantra to. He told her to say nothing but I. Just to say I all the time. So... I'm not the only one that mantra was used with. All right. The first mantra that you shall use is, I am that I am. This mantra is a reminder to the mind that you exist. Now see how perfect this was? Because at this time, this fear of not existing was showing up. So not only is I am that I am cultural for us, but it also communicates exactly what I needed communicated to me at this time. This mantra is a reminder to the mind that you exist. You exist in every situation and at all times, and never is the truth of your existence threatened. With this memory firmly in place, you will quickly notice the idea that you do not exist when it arises as a fear in any situation. Whenever you notice this fear, and all fear is this fear, quickly and willingly repeat your mantra. Your mantra is given as a reminder of what is true and what is false. Any other instruction that is needed in the moment will be given when the vibrational level is returned to the level of your mantra. Any other guidance is what he means by instruction. Any other guidance that is needed in the moment will be given when the vibrational level is returned to the level of your mantra. So when I say, I am that I am, I am that I am, I am that I am, not with fear, but with heart, it will help remind me that my fear is not true. And when I have the clear memory that my fear is not true, then I'm in line with what we would call Holy Spirit's guidance, and I will hear and receive that guidance. All you must do is return willingly to the mantra whenever you feel threatened by fear. Realize that the mantra is not a protection from fear or protection from a specific situation and form. You may remember that the last message, I think it was, last week's message, he asked Laurent and I to let go of magic. So he's making it clear he is not giving me the mantra as a new type of magic, right? Like calling on the angels. It's not a magic. It's not fear and then magically say the mantra and it will go away. That's not the purpose of the mantra. Realize that the mantra is not a protection from fear or protection from a specific situation and form. It is merely a vibrational tuning which reminds you of what is true. In remembering the truth, you also recognize that which is false. And I said, okay, I appreciate these very simple instructions. What else would you share? And he said, do not delay. Do not wait to start. Begin your practice now. And in fact, I did. And I would say within a couple of months, I began to actually notice big changes within my experience. Little things that used to annoy me, because actually underneath somehow I was feeling threatened, like wanting to be right about something. I'd be annoyed if it appeared I wasn't right, because really underneath that I was feeling threatened. I began to notice that certain circumstances that used to annoy me began to not. And the reason they didn't is because I no longer felt my existence threatened. I began to have an intuitive understanding of what the Course means in the very beginning when it says nothing real can be threatened. I began to have a real knowing that I was that something real that cannot be threatened, that that's what I am. And as I began to connect with that knowing, many things that used to upset me in some way or another began to fall away, because what was really underneath that upset was the fear of existing. And as I mentioned today, I observed that fear of not existing, as I am feeling guidance to go deeper into silence, even in my everyday life, right? My relationship with my daughter and my roommate. But the difference was that I saw it. I was aware of that that's what was there, but I did not experience it like it was me. I experienced it more like it was a thought or an idea or a belief, that it was there, but not that it was me. And that is probably because of the work of this mantra, I am that I am. There was an awareness that I was watching that fear, but that I am not that which is fearing. That's the best way to say it, I think. That I am watching that fear, but I am not that which is fearing. So there was no denial of the fear and also no true experience of the fear. I am that I am. Right? Bill is writing the absolute. Wilson has said, Jehovah's name is I am that I am, and that is true. So, Bill, I'm excited to hear what you have to share. Laurent, I'm excited about your trip to India. And I guess that's all I have to say. So I will release the mic and turn it over to Dove. Bye-bye, everyone.